I'm on Jamel with you with the positive mind here at WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Getting towards the end of the year. Something special happened the other day. We were talking about sobriety. Sobriety. What an interesting word. Sobriety is a word that's usually associated with drinking or with drugs. And it's a kind of word that we say, okay, it's the absence of drugs or alcohol, it's sobriety. Yet we have these other things that happen to us where we talk about having a sober moment. Boy, that was sobering. And what does sobering mean? It means that brought me to reality when we say that. That was a sobering moment. It made me feel what reality is what we usually are talking about. I think of myself as spending most of my life trying to be as sober as possible, having been someone who has spent his life enjoying every form of inebriation. And inebriation to me is not just drugs and alcohol, it's all the distractions that we get involved in. Whether you want to become rich or famous or loved or good-looking, all of these passions that take our minds away, all of these things that have us constantly looking somewhere else. The question becomes, how can I stop being one of those people who are always being somewhere else to being someone who is here? To me, sobriety is being present. What's it like to be sober? So here's the question I ask this group of men who I love and spend time with each week. And they described it as the following. These are seven men. One man said it's clarity. It's thinking clearly. A very interesting concept. Another one said it's a form of loving. Well, that's another interesting concept. I could see a mushy-eyed person considering themselves present. But there was an objection to that. They said, no, it's a state of being present without being attached. It's being connected without being attached. The state of sobriety is being here. Now, think about that being here. Think about right this minute. If you wanted to be here with me, what would it take? It would mean your mind's not wandering. It means your mind's not concerned about other things. It means there's only three places your mind could ever be. It could ever be in the past, it could be in the future, or it could be in the present. So to me, sobriety is being present, being here now. Now, what's the big deal about that? You've heard about that your whole life. People have talked about it. Be present, be present. Well, we talked about it and we thought about what it's like to really be present. Think about that, friends. What if you just took or got rid of every other thought you had going right now and you were just present this moment right here, right now, okay? And you let go of everything else just for a minute. Except the wheel of your car, please. Right? But you were just here. The question becomes, when you get there, you are so totally there that it becomes hard to believe why we would ever not be there, because it's so all-inclusive. It's so kind of exquisite to stop to be here. So I call it being sober. I call it being sober because I think the rest of the time I'm drunk. Now, what does the word drunk mean? The word drunk doesn't mean drinking alcohol. It just means deluded. You know, it means off somewhere else, in some other world. So I asked these men, how much of your time do you spend? And each one, I said, can you feel being sober? And they said, sure. They turned up the switch. And these men sitting in a room looked at each other and said, we will be sober. And they looked at each other. And it was a remarkable moment. They weren't crying. They weren't weeping. They weren't boastful. They weren't anything. They were just there. And I then asked the question, what percentage of your life do you think you are present? Now, that means really sober here. And I'll ask you that question. What percentage of your life would you say you are present? Means no worries, no concerns, no jitteriness. Present. There. Now, let's not even say with another person. Let's say just on your own. What percentage? Now, let me take as part of the qualification here, that means when you are present, you're not distracted. So it's not with music. See, present with music is not present. It's music. That's a different thing. That's a different state of being. Having an orgasm is another state of being, and it's beautiful. Getting a massage is great. Exercise is fantastic. All of these things are external, but when you bring your mind to a non-involved, plain, ordinary, I am here, now, what percentage of your life do you think you do that? And what percentage of your life would you like to do that, okay? Well, probably a good percentage of your life, because I can tell you every time you do it, it feels great. And the men said, just about, if not less than 1% of my life. And I thought, I love these men because they're so honest. I said, just about, if not less than 1% of my life, meaning out of a day, maybe a minute, you know, maybe, maybe not. New Year's resolution, to become sober 2% of my life. Oh, they all agreed. Wow, 2% as opposed to what I am now. Now, what does it give you? It gives you the ability, my friends, to be in a room with someone and look at them and be present, and you could really connect. Now, if they are in a state of mind where they could be present, you could really connect. Of course, they may not be present. You have to let them go. You got to let them go. You got to, you know, if they don't want to be there, you got to let them go. You got to see they're wanting not to be there. I'll tell you who my ideal, my statue, my patron saint of being present is. I'll tell you who he is. You know, there's a patron saint for everything in the Catholic Church. Do you know that? They're patron saints of, I bet there's a patron saint of a computer. I wonder if there is, of an iPod. They do, they have patron saints. They have patron saint of prostitutes. You know who that is? The patron saint of prostitutes was a saint who gave money to buy prostitutes out of their indebtedness, so that they could be free. And that's what he did many, many years ago. And that was Saint Nick. And it's the same Saint Nick who is Santa Claus. Yes, Santa Claus is the patron saint of prostitutes. Doesn't make him a bad guy. Okay. But being present. Patron saint. My patron saint of being present is a photograph I saw during the Second World War. But I saw of the Second World War, not during the Second World War. It was a man standing at the Arc de Triomphe. He was a Frenchman. He was standing there. He had a suit. He was wearing a proper suit and a shirt and a tie. And the Nazis were marching in through the Arc de Triomphe. And he was looking at them with his head very proud. And there was a tear in his eye. Just a tear. And I looked at that and I said, oof, imagine that much feeling. So there becomes a question, you know, if you're being present, if you're being sober, why would you cry? Because sometimes what you see is very sad. And because sometimes it makes you feel sad. In fact, we found among the men, or among some of the men, that the only way to ever get to the place where they could truly feel present, to feel totally sober, is they had to go through their tears. Every man I know, as most men I know, have great difficulty feeling their tears. Now, I'm not saying crying. Crying is one thing. Crying is a paroxysm. Crying is a lot of stuff coming out all at once. It's holding back and letting go. It's holding back and letting go, crying. That's why people make the sound of crying. Tears, that's the lubricant of the heart. That's the sweat. That's the stuff that happens almost all the time when you let yourself stop and you let yourself sink and you let yourself melt and you let your tears flow. If a person could let their tears flow without going into heavy crying, heavy regrets, or depression, but just let their tears be there, they probably have a doorway to being very much in the here and now. It leads to sobriety. I believe some people are an exception. They have too many tears. They never stop tearing. But I'm saying you could go in through that door. Okay, so this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. What are we talking about? We're talking about sobriety. Why would I be talking about sobriety today? Well, New Year's is coming. And what's the hallmark of New Year's? Being drunk, being stoned, being high. High, right? Celebrating, shouting, and balloons, and things that you blow up. And that's New Year's. What if New Year's was sober? Okay. Doesn't mean you can't celebrate. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We would like to take your calls today as well. Let me show you a little more. I mean, if being sober is so perfect, which it is, it's a moment of perfection, why is it so hard to do? There's our question. Being sober is a mirror that reveals yourself to you. But it blinds you at the same time. Because being here, now, present, awakens you. It livens you up. It puts you up there. It makes you present, but it gives you nothing to hold on to. Mind you, my friends, all these other things that we think about, worry about, concern ourselves about, attach ourselves to, all of that is attached to, like we're holding on to it. Like if we want to know we exist, oh, my kids, oh, my this, oh, my that, or he wants, or she wants, or oh, the complaints and all the grief we have, it's something we hold on to. Being present, you let that stuff go. It's gone. So here's a way, my friends, and we're going to take your calls today at 212-209-2900, because as we get to the end of the year, I'd like to introduce you, invite you to join me in a sober way. You could plan to expand your sobriety. Here's how I suggest you do it. You divide a day into segments. You do it private and social. In the private segments, you're sober when you're eating. Right, for example, sober eating. Would that be sober noodles? Sober eating. Sober eating means that you are present when you eat. It means you taste your food. That means you look at your food. That means you're there with your food. Doesn't mean you wolf it down. It doesn't mean it passes you by. Sober eating, 15 minutes. Sober walking. If you walk somewhere, you're conscious, you're not avoiding. You're looking and seeing, not hiding or ducking. You're not distracted. You are absolutely looking. Now, and of course we have that. We always have this invitation, but it's always a difficulty. And we were trying to figure out, is it possible to be sober if you're in a relationship? That's a real question. I don't know. I don't know. There are moments that I've had with intimate beings, people who I'm really close to, that are so close, so amazing, so intense, so beautiful, so exquisite, just being there. But it's hard. Sometimes I'm all over the place. Sometimes I can't get there, you know? Sometimes I'm the ship that's circling the airport, the plane that's circling the airport, and the other person's landed. Or sometimes the other person is circling the airport, and I'm landed, and I'm just waiting for them. Come on, when are you going to settle down? When are you going to get over here? But then I'm not being present, you see? Being present is whether that other person is there or not. But trying to do it to match, to be with somebody, lovers can do it because sex carries you a long distance. Chemistry takes you a long difference. Mutual oxytocin will carry you a long distance. It'll bond you. It'll put you together. You know? It'll bring you to a place. But if you don't have that, if you don't have that kind of chemistry going on to do it, what does it take to be there? And that's what the question is. You see, the chemistry of relationships, if you're angry with somebody, that's another chemistry. You could bond on that. You could bond on relationships. You could bond on talking about problems. You could do that. What's it like to just be there when someone is there, whether they're there or not? 212-209-2900 is our number. This is Armand DeMille with you towards the end of the year, trying to bring you some consciousness of this. One other thing you should know, it's about judgment. Judgment is very difficult because judgment removes you. If you're sitting with criticism and you see, then you're not present. Now, here's what I found. When I don't judge, I cry. When I don't judge people for being what they are, I feel sad for their being what they are. Sometimes I look at people, and I look at them, and I see them in constant animation, or I see myself in constant animation, and I look at it, and I say, oh, it's so sad. They can't sit still. It's like they have an electric grid that they're sitting on. They can't stop for the moment, even if they chose to. You can ask them, hey, could you stop for a moment? Oh, sure. But they can't. Something's always moving. They're always going somewhere. And one wonders, what is that? What is that? What makes that keep moving like that? In myself, too, because I get the same way. But judgment, criticism is not part of it. Here's another trick that I've learned. Has to do with the word yes. Try being present. Try being sober. Every time you say the word yes, let the word yes carry you to a moment of sobriety every time you say it. Just think about that, you know. Would you like some soup? Yes. And you let your yes bring you present. It's a great trick. It's one of the ones I learned early on. Maybe you could use it as well. We're going to take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille, 212-209-2900, talking about sobriety. I was had another great question. What is the opposite of sobriety? What's the opposite word? Drunk? No. Stone? No. All right, sobriety, if I mean sobriety being a mental a state of not being affected by anything but being, you know, present, being here. What's the opposite of sobriety? Crazy? Normal? What's the opposite? What's the antonym for sobriety? Somebody let me know. Let's take one of your calls, 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and who is this?
It's Tony from the Bronx.
Hi, Tony.
How you doing?
What part of the Bronx are you in?
Pelham Bay.
Ah, good old Pelham Bay. I love that train.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area.
Yeah.
You know what's, you're talking about being in the present, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess I mean that, Tony. You know, I think that's kind of what people talk about, but sober to me is just a little more awake than just being in the present.
I think that's a perfect antonym, right? Being awake.
You mean as opposed to it would be being asleep?
Yeah, you said you, I'm sorry, you said you want a synonym, right?
Right.
Or an antonym.
Antonym.
Oh, okay. I guess that would be, you know, being awake. I guess the opposite would be
being asleep.
Sober, being asleep. You know, you're not aware.
Yeah. But it doesn't look like a sleep when you see somebody who's dancing like crazy and it's New Year's Eve and they're blowing out poppers and they're snorting drugs and they're doing all that stuff. It doesn't look like they're sleeping, but they are.
Absolutely. You know what I wanted to share with you? You mentioned before about being present, and it's funny. You mentioned it casually, present, being present. You read their books about it. There's all kinds of things about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really had it was such an abstract thought for me. It was like another language. I just didn't understand it. I mean, I understood it literally, but I never got it, being present. It's taken me my whole life to even understand it. I didn't get it. I always lived in the past and in the future, you know, and never really understood what being in the present was.
Wow. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, literally, I literally read a book. Michael Jordan got a book on being in the moment. And after I finished the book, I still didn't get it.
Still don't get it. Right.
No, it's just such an abstract.
But you do get it now.
I get it now.
Okay. Now, so do you think you get 1% of your life being that kind of sober?
Oh, I got a lot more than that.
Good for you.
You know, and I got a really simple analogy how I got it. You know, how I got it actually was, if you've ever played tennis, right? And when you're playing against another opponent who's very powerful, and the opponent hits the ball to you. Now, if you have any other thought than the thought about that one shot in front of you, the shot that's in front of you at that moment, then you're not in the present. If I'm thinking about the score, if I'm thinking about my feet, if I'm thinking about my opponent, how good he is, if I'm thinking about the weather, if I'm thinking about how good I am or how bad I am, I'm not in the moment. The only thing that exists is that one shot that's in front of me now, the one he hit to my forehand. And then when I return it, he hits another one, then there's the next shot. But it's each individual shot within, and it clicked for me because I'm not very athletic. It helped me click what being in the moment was. Being in the moment is no other thoughts or judgments or anything other than that split second in front of you or that shot in front of me. That's how it clicked for me because I'm athletic.
So, but does that mean, Tony, that you're not thinking about how you're going to hit the ball back?
I'm just hitting the shot because, you know, if you're an athlete, you're almost like autopilot.
It's on autopilot, huh?
You know, you just hit. And you make the best shot when I'm relaxed and I just hit the ball. I see the shot, I see the opening, hit it. I'm not thinking about how many times I missed it before in my life.
Okay, Tony, so translate that for me mm-hmm. into how you would be present with somebody you're close to. Say a person.
Well, how I would be present, you know, it would be just enjoying them. Just really enjoying them and being there at the moment. Doesn't have to be any more or any less of what it is. It doesn't have to be a party. And it's like you said, I've had those moments. It's really weird. I've had those moments of pure, simple moments, and they've brought tears to my eyes, too. And they're just like perfect moments. Mm-hmm. Nothing's needed. It doesn't have to be a party.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, I've been driving in the car with my two nieces in the back seat, and they were singing a song, and one is 8 and one is 4. Mm-hmm. And it just hit me. Wow, this is a moment that I will never forget.
Good for you, Tony.
You know, it's those moments. They don't have to be rushed or pushed or it's just a simple, peaceful, nothing missing moment. I don't know how else to explain it, but there's nothing else that could make that moment better or it's just the perfect moment.
And we get this, Tony. We get if we train ourselves to do this. That this is becomes more frequent.
The funny part is that I I've had those moments, probably like glimpses, you know. I mean, I have it more now, but I would have glimpses with different people, different times in my life, where it would be like a couple of, you know, it would last like a minute, and I would have them once every couple of months, and I realized that, you know, the more I have them now, what I realize is that, or at least this is my thought, is that they're there. It's me who's not available to them.
That's not right.
Those glimpses of
the moments. The moments are always there. Thanks for calling in, Tony.
Thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Time for another call. Hi there. You're on the air. Hello there.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I just wanted to say that, like, to be present, that's probably the greatest thing there is. You know, in other words, like, you know when they say to be in the moment?
Yeah.
At least speaking for myself, when I'm looking at that, just like the guy explained it all. Like, if you're worried about anything, and that's always the case, so basically, in other words, you need a protocol. To be in the present, you have to work at it. If you're not able to...
Well, I'll tell you what you do. Take out the word you and say the word I instead.
Oh, right. I remember that. Explain that. What I try and do is to recognize that at all times, when I'm not in the present, which is almost all the time, it's my health. In other words, how do I stack up to my surroundings?
Yeah.
And that is my health. If I'm feeling any discomfort... Or like the guy said, he's playing tennis and he hits the ball and he looks at the guy and he looks more capable, even for an instant. This is going to detract from whatever I could
So when
bring.
You let that go, what's your name?
Oh, my name, I've spoken to you a number of times. Ron Toro. So you got to take
Ron.
A long-term view and work on your health.
Ronald. No, wait. Stop. You. Don't preach.
Pardon?
Don't preach. Say, I have to take a long-term look.
I didn't hear to what you said. Don't preach?
Don't preach, yeah. When you say
you're right. I keep
when you say you preach. And see, when you preach, you remove yourself from people.
I would say that, to me, as a grown man, to be in the moment, you have to feel at ease. You have to feel capable.
Who's the you?
And it means more than compassion for another person.
Yeah.
It means you have to feel able.
You mean I have to feel able.
I have to feel able, and it's not something that I could think about.
Yeah.
It only comes about when I'm feeling well.
Yeah. Well, that's not... I'm going to teach you a trick. We have to get going. We have to take a break. But it's not true.
All right.
You
so
can
I'm
feel well.
Feeling well is,
yeah.
is... I'm talking about feeling well now.
I'm talking about all the time. I'm
nothing
saying I know people.
In the stomach, you're not holding back
I got it.
Bad gas while you're talking.
Ronald, I got to get going.
You know, so anyway.
Okay, don't talk anymore at the moment.
I got to work on it long term. Thank you.
I know people who are dying who are very present. I know people who are sick who are very present. Yeah, the conditions are not there. It's somewhere inside us we find it. And when we find it, my friends, it's just kind of amazing. We look for it. Like we said, it's so little that we do. If we put a little intention in there, we could find it. This is Armand DeMille. When we get back from you, we'll take some more. We're going to take a short break. I'll be right back.
Because the wind is high. is new. Love is all, love is you. Because the sky is blue, it makes me cry. Because the sky is blue.
Had a remarkable experience with that music. That was the a cappella version of Because by the Beatles on the Love album. The Love album comes from the show in Las Vegas. Well, it was really interesting because, you know, here I am talking about being present, and I was with a two-year-old child. And the two-year-old child is kind of playing and making all the noise. This is Max. And Max is, everybody should know Max. And Max is up there and he's singing and he's dancing and he's talking. He's bah, 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 bah. And all of a sudden, this a cappella presence of the Beatles appears. And as it appears, Max freezes in his tracks. He stops. And he listens because he had never heard anything like this before. And he was just present. So let me invite you for a moment to join Max and listen differently. Listen and just be here. Just a short moment. We'll go for 1 minute.
Because
what do you think, Stephanie? There you were. That was different, huh? That was different. You hear all those birdies you never heard before?
That's right. Yeah, it was lovely. Very nice.
Because you stopped moving, and Stephanie is always in the studio moving at a mile a minute because she's always getting things ready and preparing and engineering, and that at the moment she stopped and she said, "Woo. Hey, if Max can do it, I'll join Max," as I said. And suddenly so much more sound appeared. So much is present when we are. There's so much more that's here when we're here. 212-209-2900 is our number here. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Hi, Amon. Good day.
Hello there.
Yes, I just want to make two observations.
Please.
One with Tony. It was an aha moment for me when he says that you have to be in the present when the person throw the ball.
Yes.
And think about the ball. I remember being in New Orleans about maybe 15, 20 years ago and trying to learn to play tennis. And I realized I was missing the ball all the time. And something said, watch that ball when it's coming to you. And I was only able to do it for 3 times because I was scared. But every time, the only time I was able to catch the ball is when I focus on the ball coming towards me instead of ducking. And that was an aha moment for me. And the gentleman that just spoke, he was never in the moment because you were trying to tell him there's a trick to it, and he kept thinking about talking about you have to be healthy. And as you say, you know people near dying, and they were in the moment. You don't have to become, I don't think you have to be healthy to be in the moment, because if you have to think about your health, you have to be in the moment to think about it.
Well, okay, but let's put it this way. Sometimes people say things, especially when they're delivering what they think are important teachings, you see? But that doesn't mean that he doesn't know anything about being in the present.
No.
In his own way, like you do, you know? It's when we become teachers, very often, we lose sight of our presence.
I know he was trying to say what we should do to be healthy, but he also missed when you were trying to tell him that a person could be near. That's the thing I'm talking about, because I learned something from him also.
You learned something from him as well.
Yes.
Yes, and let me ask you something. You feel tender towards him?
I feel very tender towards Tony. What I felt was a little agitation.
Okay, so
but
now,
in there I felt,
now there's magic. There's magic, right? Because it's only a voice on the radio. There's a man, Ronald, who is trying to do his very best to join us. Could you find the tender part of you for him now?
Yes.
So go there.
And I shouldn't say agitation. I should say I was calm, and when I tried
you
can
say anything
phone,
you want.
Yeah,
you want to say anything you want. You see, but see, we trip into it so easily. We step into it so easily.
Yeah.
You're a beautiful person. What's your name?
Eula.
Eula.
Eula is my name, yes.
That's nice. How do you spell Eula?
E-U-L-A.
E-U-L-A. Thank you so much for joining us, Eula.
Yes. And what I want to say as a Buddhist, Nichiren Daishonin Buddhist, it's easy for me to feel because our religion is based on compassion. So the agitation is really fear and not really agitation.
I hear you.
Fear of speaking on the phone.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you very much.
Sure.
Yeah, bye-bye.
212-209-2900. Yes, a funny thing happens to us humans. I decided, I was talking to some people who I had never met the other day, and I was talking to them, and they were kept advising. And it was something about compulsive advising. And I was watching people who met people for the very first time, and they would meet each other, and they'd advise each other. And then I noticed that someone made an observation. He said to me, women who are in their 60s are always teaching other people things. I said, what? And he said, yes, they go around and they're going to say, you should do this and you should do this and you should try this and you should try this. It's like, it seems like they become nurturers of the world in some way on the advice level. He said he actually asked someone, would you do me a favor and not give me any more advice? And she said to him, I don't think I can stop giving you advice. Interesting. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand?
Yes.
Oh, Armand. Hi, my name is Debbie.
Debbie.
I'm a long-time listener, very first-time caller.
And from where are you, Debbie?
I am actually from Rockaway Beach.
Rockaway Beach, all right.
And I'm looking at the ocean right now.
Yeah.
As I'm listening to you.
How nice.
I've listened to you for so many years, and I just had a compulsion to call you today. I was listening to what you were talking about, of being in the moment. Now, I'm in recovery for 22 years.
Sure.
23 of those years, I was unconscious. And so when you had said, what's the antonym or the synonym for being in the moment?
Being sober is really, you're saying, unconscious.
Unconscious,
sure.
Exactly. And I was listening to Tony, and, you know, there are no coincidences in my life. And I said, you know, what would I say if I spoke to Armand about how do I stay in the moment today? And he said what I wanted to say. I'm a great aunt to 24 nieces and nephews. And I just spent Christmas Day with half of them. Some live in Australia, most of them live in Florida, and most of them are out on the island. And it's when I am around that six-month-old and that the 2 6-year-olds and the 4-year-old and the 9-year-old, they keep me in the moment. It's just such joy that if you're not there in that moment and paying attention to what they do and what they say and how they interact, that you really do miss out on a lot. You know, someone once told me that today is a gift, and that's why we call it the present.
Huh, nice going. Well, thank you so much. What's your name again? Debbie.
Debbie.
Debbie from Rockaway Beach. See those waves coming in?
You know, and when I'm out there, there are times that you have to be in the moment. You know, I collect the seashells as I walk along. I'm a power walker. I go out for an hour and a half.
But just being with the ocean without doing anything.
Absolutely. And in the summer, I'm off. I work for the schools. I'm a paraprofessional. And
oh, there's a nice word. Absolutely. I like that. The absolute.
Oh.
The
yes.
Absolute of being sober. I like that.
And I listen to you every day. I'm in tune to WBLI. And I think what you're doing is just absolutely fabulous because I know you have helped me many, many times. My only regret today is I just lost my best friend.
I'm sorry to hear
of
Debbie.
18 years. And so I would be on the phone with him, and I'd say, you're not going to believe who I spoke to. And we would speak about it.
What was your best friend's name?
His name was Jimmy.
Jimmy.
And he was the one that kept telling me. You know, he was my mentor, my spiritual advisor, my best friend.
So let's put Jimmy in the present. And even though it may tug at your heart a little bit, say something directly to Jimmy as if anything you say to him might go through the ethers and through the antenna and may somewhere touch him wherever he is. Talk directly to Jimmy. What would you say to him at this point?
Jimmy, I love you. I miss you. And I will never forget the things that you have taught me. And I will take them with me every day.
A nice deep breath for Jimmy. I join you with that one.
Armand, thank you so much, and thank you for all that you do. And thank you, radio station, because it's invaluable. It truly is.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Happy and a healthy new year.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Good.
Hi, my name is Anthony.
Hello, Anthony.
Hi, I was just,
Anthony, could you get closer to the phone as opposed to the speakerphone?
Sure. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, pick up the phone as opposed to the speakerphone.
Yeah, hello?
There you are. Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Oh. Yes, sir. I was just making an observation, like what you said with the baby.
Yeah.
And I think knowing and being in the moment is also being, I feel it for myself personally, of a reconnection of when I was first born. The stillness and reconnection of your existence.
Whose existence?
My existence.
Thank you.
My existence and elements around my existence. And I think if some people, I had a problem of reconnecting to that time of those occurring disturbances, or we have distractions now as an adult.
Anthony, let me ask you something. Among your distractions, do you have difficulty with jobs?
I don't.
What kind of job do you do?
I've worked in the healthcare field with
physical health?
Physical, with the children.
With children. Now, when you're with children and you're doing your physical health stuff,
yes.
They are struggling. They're trying hard. You're trying to teach them. Do you feel at the same time that sense of presence from a distance, as if you're graced for just being there? Do you get that feeling? Like it's an act, like it's a state of grace?
Yes, yeah. Yes. I feel privileged being in the, and I can look into their eyes, and I can see their struggle. And I have to, like you said earlier, I have to take myself to a place where it's just me and that person, knowing myself first and being in tune with myself, and my surroundings. Then is only then I can help them.
You know what it sounds like to me also, Anthony? It sounds like to me when you were a kid, you were missing anybody giving you that kind of attention.
Yes. I was alone around, but also being alone, and it took me to be very aware of my surroundings as a child.
Yeah, I could hear.
And I got to the point where I understand it now as an adult, and I can adapt, and I understand it fully with people, why they move around a lot. I'm a very able person to be able to be by myself and to be in the moment. And I see people like that go around and they can't sit still.
Mm-hmm.
They're just moving around and every distraction takes them. And I just sit and wonder sometimes to say, why can't they just sit down, relax? Sometimes we lose things, we can't find them, and they're right in front of our faces. And
it gets hard, you know, Anthony, because part of what you're looking for is you're looking for somebody to join you there. And part of what happens, and it happens to all of us, is we want somebody to join us in this sacred place, and then we get mad at them because they won't sit still. And that's our fault, you know? That's the by fault, I mean, that's the part of us that we need to adapt, because really, in the true sober place, you let people be who they are.
Right.
You got it?
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for calling in, Anthony. We'll take another call. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here in WBAI. We're talking about...
Armand, this is John.
Hello, John.
I'm from Brooklyn. And I am finding your program so interesting. Speaking about the present, I find that I am able to experience that moment best when I'm with my daughter. My daughter is 8 years old. And I think it has to do also, among the things that other people have mentioned, I think it also has to do with the fact that I do not feel judged in any way by this 8-year-old. She doesn't see me very often. Now, when she does see me, she is so enthralled by being with me that judgment flies out the window. And I think it makes me so comfortable being with her in that state that it allows me to then feel the present.
Well, that's a beautiful thing, John. Now, let me ask you something. Can you take that very feeling, because that one's based on your being loved, and I understand being loved can make you settle down, but can you take that same feeling of having your heart filled and put that somewhere else in your day today without your daughter there? Can you take that same feeling and move that to some other human being, or some other place, or even in your setting where you are? Can you be in that place, even when not with her, without thinking about her? See, the goal is to develop that peace, that part.
Yes, I can. What I find is that I'm able to do it with particular individuals.
Yeah.
And it has to do with it is based, I think, on two things. One, the kind of relationship I have with that individual, or it has to do with my being able to empathize with that individual.
Okay, good point. Good point. Compassion and empathy are a very, very important ingredient. You know? Thank you very much. Thank you, John, for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you. 212-209-2900. What a remarkable group of people, huh? Tony, Ronald, Eula? Eula was her name, right? Debbie. And, of course, we can't forget Jimmy. And Anthony and John. Yeah, Jimmy was Debbie's friend who died. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Wayne.
Hello, Wayne.
I came in with my girlfriend once, and I saw you.
Oh, Wayne. Hello, Wayne.
You were talking about being in the moment, and it reminded me when I was young, I used to, Howard Davis was in the Olympics, and I went down there, and they taught me to box. I was in the ring all the time, and they're telling me to slow down, Wayne, slow down. And I don't know how you slow down when you're thinking about when you're going to get punched in the face, when you're going to get tired.
Sure.
And as I got older, I read a lot of books on Aikido and martial arts, all the little martial arts stories, and it's all about slowing down and being in the present. And now I can get in the ring. I used to do kickboxing, and I learned a lot of different things. And everyone, even though I'm older, it seems like everyone got slower. I'm thinking, how'd that happen?
Right. Everything got slower because you're seeing more of everything.
Yeah, it's amazing. I guess I slowed down, and I wasn't just being pulled to the past, to the future. You know, I'm able to relax much more and see a lot more. I think that's the key behind Aikido. Mora Yoshiba wrote a book about, I think, the Way of Harmony.
Yeah, but, you know, you could have all those books and all those theories all you want, Wayne, and it's not until you're ready that it happens.
I read a million books. And
right.
For some reason.
It doesn't happen until you're ready.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right.
And, Wayne, I have a vivid image of you in my mind. Let me ask you a question in general. How are you doing?
We just broke up. You know, I was going out with Debbie for about 3 years. I'm just starting to do very well. I'm going ice skating. I'm jogging again. I'm redoing my psychotherapy office. I'm going to do that because she didn't want me to do anything. And I was so focused on her.
Yeah, I heard the breakup. Good. Good. Well, my heart goes with you. Lots of courage. You know, it takes a while to get back, and it really is important to let go when it's time to let go.
Thank you very much, Roman.
Yeah. Yeah. Broken hearts, especially around this time. Very difficult stuff. Wayne, thanks for calling in.
Okay. Thank you, Armand.
Sure. Bye-bye. Well, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Now, we've got more programming for you. We've got tomorrow and the next day. We'll be with you on both days. And how are we going to say goodbye today? Let's say goodbye with something that maybe will touch some of the older folks. Where is that? Here it is. It's just 2 minutes, Michael. We'll be back with you tomorrow, my friends, at 1 p.m. Special thanks to Stephanie Dombra for giving me a hand with this as well. And to all of you, in the words of a very, very old friend.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again. Some trails are happy ones, others are blue. It's the way you ride that trail that counts. Here's a happy one for you. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
The human mind.